It's not a Presbyterian thing. It's not a Methodist thing. Church, what I'm going to be preaching to you this morning is called a Jesus thing. Amen? I want you to understand this morning that religion and denominations are one of the greatest stumbling blocks for all the lost world in all the world. Do you hear me? Because what happens is the Pentecostals look at the Baptists and say, well, hold on a second, you're doing this, but you're not doing this. And the Baptists look at this group and say, well, you're doing this, but you're not doing this. That's religion. Do you hear me? That's denominationalism. What I'm going to be talking about this morning is what the Word of God says. That's all I need. As a matter of fact, when people ask me, Brother Kyle, what church do you go to? I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm a Methodist. I'm a good old Methodist. I'm this. Hey, I'm a Christian. First, foremost. And I'm not even going to say this, well, I'm a Southern Baptist because I believe they've got more right. I believe if you had a scale here and you had what's right and what's wrong, it kind of balance itself at times. Really? I mean, we're good when we stand on the Word of God, the rock. Amen? This is all we need. If we build from the foundation of this church off the Word of God, how can we go wrong? We can't. So this morning, before I read any scripture, I give you introduction, I want you to understand that what is going to be preached this morning is from Jesus. It's not Southern Baptist. It's not Southern Baptist doctrine and theology, but it is because it's the Word of God. Amen? So, with all that off my shoulders, the last couple of weeks we've learned about the new command that Jesus left for us right before He was killed on Calvary's cross. He told us, and this is the new command, to love one another the way I love you. This is how the world will know that you are my disciples, if you will love one another. Now, last week we went all the way back to the book of Exodus and saw that God was qualified for us to follow Him. We learned that we can trust that God is in control because He says He's in control in His Word. He showed us that He and He alone is our Lord and our God. He is the one who carried the Hebrew children out of the land of Egypt. He told us that whether we acknowledge it or not, we belong to Him. If y'all gonna be dead, I am too. Hey. He told us that whether we acknowledge it or not, we all belong to Him. All of us. Lost and saved alike. And there's a lot of lost people in this world. I don't believe in God. Hey, you still belong to Him. You still belong to Him. I've got a set of golf clubs in my storage room out there that I moved 2 times, and I hadn't played in a year and a half. If somebody tries to steal them, you know what? You know who they belong to? Me. They belong to me. We all belong to God. We lastly heard God tell the Hebrew children, do not serve any other gods. You are to serve no other God but me. Church, with this knowledge, we've learned these last couple of weeks alone, there should never be a person on this earth that would not trust God. They're without excuse. There's not a person in this world who has an excuse for not trusting God. There is no one who should ever not accept His Son Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But the sad truth is there are many more who will not accept Christ than those who will. This morning, I want to ask you a very simple question. Why should you trust Jesus? Why? Now listen, this message is for two people, or two types of people. Christian, listen, please hear me. It baffles me as your pastor, and it baffles pastors as a whole when somebody you're talking to, and I do this not to trick people, but when I'm going to witness to somebody, I'll ask, have you ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior? The average person says, oh yeah, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Well, tell me about it. Well, Mama took me to church. Well, I got this one time. Brother Frank, I got this one time. from one of Amy's friends. It wasn't my friend, all right? My father, hold on, let me get myself in character. My father was a Methodist preacher, so I'm good. You don't have to worry about me. Really? You think you're saved because your granddaddy or your, you know, somebody you related to was a Baptist preacher or a Methodist preacher? Listen to me. This message is for two people. Christian, you need to understand why you believe what you believe. You need to be able to defend yourself and the gospel. Do you hear me? You need to believe why you believe anyway. But secondly, there might be a lost person here this morning, and you're standing at the edge, you're right at the brink, you don't know who to believe, you don't know what to believe, you don't know what denomination to believe. All I want you to do is listen to what Jesus said. Put denomination to the side. I'm going to say it again, denominations are almost evil. Did I just say that? Why? Because people look at denominations and say, who's right, who's wrong? Well, I'm not going to believe anything. And they die and go to a burning hell because of denominations. That's sad. It's sad. So this morning, I want you to listen to Jesus. Listen to what he has to say. So this morning, I want to read some scripture that's going to qualify the scripture I'm going to go to here in a second. Look at John chapter 5. And let's see. My notes say verse 16. John 5:16. Therefore, the Jews began persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus responded to them, my Father is still working, and I'm working also. This is why the Jews began to try even the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, not the law, but the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you and we praise you. God, I have just a short period of time to do something that's really important to me, and that's preach your word. God, I pray that you would just wake us and shake us. God, help us to be attentive for these next few minutes to what you're about to say to us. God, there's not a person this morning who doesn't need to hear this for one reason or the other. It applies to all of us. Lord, be with us right now. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. There's a reason why I'm here this morning and I'm preaching to this group of people. I don't know what it is. God will reveal it to you if it's for you. I had permission from our chairman of the Board of Deacons, Gary. He said, look, I was sneezing my guts out yesterday. From the time we started moving till the time I went to bed last night, I was just had snot rags and rubbing my eyes. And Gary had pity on me, and Steve and Bill, they didn't care. But Gary had pity on me. He says, look, he said, brother, he said, why don't we just have a testimony service tomorrow? And I was like, nope, I've got a message. I've got to preach. So there's somebody this morning who needs to hear this message. I had permission to just sit here and let y'all give your testimonies. Mark, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It might be Pat, brother. Today might be the day she gets saved. You reckon? Amen. Amen. Well, let's look. Let's look at what's happening here. In the scripture we just read, who is it that Jesus was talking to in scripture? Jesus is saying this. I mean, who is he talking to? Jesus was talking to some hard-headed, stiff-necked, cold-hearted, arrogant, and prideful Jewish people who would not accept Christ as their Messiah. Is that pretty harsh? Yeah, but it's the truth. These people had a form of religion, but refused to accept Christ as their one true Messiah and serve Him and Him alone. Now let's get this. Let's get it in our head. Jesus is talking to some cold-hearted, hard-headed, arrogant, prideful Jewish people who had all the answers right there in front of him, but they would not accept Jesus as the one and true Messiah. They're blinded by their own religion. They're blinded. Now, get this. Church, does this not sound like so many people in our world today? You know, we look at those Jews, Gary, we're like, what's wrong with these people? I mean, they had Old Testament prophecy. They had this and they had this. And then Jesus comes on the scene and he fulfilled all these prophecies that said he was going to be born at the time, at the place, all these things, all these events taking place. Jesus healed the blind, did this, and they still won't believe him. Does this sound familiar? Most people I speak to have some sort of religion, but have absolutely no relationship with the Lord whatsoever at all. Their faith lies in their membership to their church, or to that church, or to this church, or to this denomination, or to that denomination. Or better than that, they say, I believe in God, but I don't have to go to church. I don't know about y'all, but when I got just a little bit of Jesus, I mean, I didn't have much. I grew up in a pagan household. My dad is still, to this day, he calls himself an atheist. I don't believe in atheists. Do y'all hear me? Atheists don't believe in God. I don't believe in atheists. I don't. Tony, you believe in atheists? I don't believe in them. I'm trying to put this in the right way. Let me go back to my notes. I don't want to mess this up. Where am I here? Okay, here we go. When I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, just a little bit, not much at all, something clicked inside of me. You see, when Amy and I first started dating, she told me, she said, do you like me? I said, yeah. She said, well, I'll see you at church tomorrow. I had to go to church. I was made to go to church. Before we even got married, Miss Papalongo, before she was cracking the whip. But something happened, Heather, when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and I got just a little bit of Jesus. I didn't have to go to church. I wanted to go to church. Nobody had to tell me to go to church. I couldn't wait to get to church. And can I tell you, listen to me, Sunday morning church person, the only time you come is Sunday morning. The closer I got to God, the more I studied, the more I prayed, the more I wanted to be in God's house, the more I wanted to be nourished. Hey, listen, Steve, I was afraid not to show up to church because I was afraid I was going to miss something. That was just a little bit of Jesus. These Jews that Jesus was talking to knew the truth. The truth was standing right there in front of them, and they still would not accept Christ as their Savior. Church, for some strange reason, I feel like hell is a whole lot worse for these people than many others. They had Jesus right in front of them, and they turned their back on Jesus. Much like some of you. You've heard the truth and you will not accept Christ as the truth. You'll hear the truth once more this morning, and listen, you might walk out these doors and still not accept Christ as your personal Savior. What more? What more are you going to have to hear? What more are you going to have to see before you give up and let Christ be Lord of your life? What more is it going to have to be? Can I tell you? Can I show you in Scripture just one more time? For some, this will be the first time you've ever seen it. For some, this might be the very last time the Holy Spirit ever offers you salvation this morning. But I want to show you, what is it, why is it that I should trust Christ? Well, why? Well, Jesus tells you in preceding Scripture from the qualifying Scripture I read just a few minutes ago. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 31. Jesus tells us right here in Scripture why you should trust Him and Him alone. John chapter 5, verse 31. And He says, I testify about myself. My testimony is not valid. Excuse me, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies about me, and I know that the testimony he gives about me is valid. You have sent messengers to John, and he has testified to the truth. I don't receive man's testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. Oh, hey, listen, this is getting ready to get good. Y'all might want to underline that. I say these things to you that you may be saved. John was a burning and shining lamp. And for a time, you were willing to enjoy his light. But I have a greater testimony than John's because of the works that the Father has given me to accomplish. These very works I am doing testify about me, and the Father has himself testified about me. You have not heard his voice at any time, and you haven't seen his form. You have his word living in you. You don't have his word living in you because you don't believe the one he sent. You pore over the scriptures because you think they have eternal life in them. You believe the scriptures have eternal life in them, Jewish people, yet they testify about me. And you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not accept the glory for men, but I know you, that you have no love for God within you. I have come in my Father's name, yet you don't accept me. If anyone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe while accepting glory from one another? You don't seek the glory that comes from the one only God. Do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. But if you don't believe his writings, how will you believe in my words? Now, Jesus gave us four things, and we're going to hit them fast and go. Jesus just told these unbelieving Jews why they should believe in him and church. They are the same very reasons we should still believe in him today, without any hesitation, without any reservation. Well, Brother Kyle, I didn't see him. Just underline them. Listen, these are good. This is good. Number one, he says, there's somebody who's testifying about me. You should believe in me, Jewish people. You should be believing in me. Why, Jesus? Verse 31, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies about me, and I know that the testimony he gives about me is valid. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit testimony. Listen, that Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit who came and told me, hey, Brother Kyle, listen, you're lost. What you're doing is wrong. Your grandmother, somebody's praying for you, and you need to get on the right path. What you need is Jesus. Can I tell you what the Holy Spirit does? Y'all with me? And this is scriptural. The Holy Spirit, from the time he existed with God and God the Father and Jesus Christ, his number one job is to point people to Jesus. There's no glory in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would not have any glory. His job is to point to Jesus, to give Jesus all the glory. Amen? He's the one who's testifying of Jesus. Jesus is saying, listen, you should believe in me because there is a testimony. There is someone who is testifying about me. I don't know how each one of y'all got saved. We all got saved in a different way. We accept Christ as our personal Savior in a different way. But there's many common factors, but the one greatest common factor is this. The Holy Spirit drew us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit let us know that we were living a life that was a lie. The Holy Spirit drew us to our knees to confess with our mouth and to believe in our heart that Jesus and Jesus alone is Lord God Almighty. Amen? Jesus is saying, listen, you have the Holy Spirit. That should be enough. But you know, God loves us so much, Keith, that he didn't just do one thing. He said, listen, there's another thing. Verse 33 and 35 tell us there's a prophet's testimony. Who is the greatest Wednesday night crowd? Who is the greatest prophet? Who did Jesus say was the greatest prophet? John the Baptist. Jesus says, listen, there was a time that John the Baptist was preaching and his light was shining and y'all listened to him for a time, but then you didn't listen to him anymore. A prophet came. And who did the prophet testify to? Jesus. Y'all remember the scripture? Was it Matthew chapter 3, chapter 4? When the Pharisees come to him and says, you know, who is this? Who are you? Are you? No, I'm not. I'm just a forerunner. The one who is coming, I am not worthy to unstrap his sandals. Who is he testifying of? Jesus. So that should be enough. that we should believe in Jesus just by those two things alone. The Holy Spirit, Mark, is drawing men to Jesus every single day. Well, he's never drawn me. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. And if he hasn't, before your life is over, he will. Scripture says, for whomsoever, that means everybody, every single person will be drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. But secondly, listen, God sent prophets. And can I tell you, I'm praying that God will send another Billy Graham to this country. I'm praying. Y'all need to pray for that. And it's not that Billy Graham's preaching was just so magnificent, people would listen to him. It's evident that people in Savannah, there's just a choice group of people who listen to me in Savannah, or this church would be packed out. Amen? I'm okay with that. I'm fine being a local, you know, small church pastor. But America needs another Billy Graham. We really do. So, listen, the Holy Spirit was sent before us. The prophets were sent. God loves us so much, Ricky Tyre, that he didn't stop there. He didn't. This scripture tells us that the works of Christ testify of who he is. Look at verse 36. Verse 36 say this. You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them. In the scriptures, guys. Yet they testify about me. This book, this Bible that you hold in your hand, it's not a book. It's a book, but it's not a book. I'll say that again just because it sounds good. It's a book, but it's not a book. Wednesday night crowd. Will you hand me that? Wednesday night crowd. How many books are there in the Bible? 66. There's 39 in the old, 27 in the new. If that's for me, I'm not here. Listen, there are 66 books in this Bible. They are 66 personal love letters from God Almighty to you. They testify about Jesus. Every single one points towards Jesus or points to Jesus. Love letters to us from God. Jesus looks at the Jews and he says, listen, you spent your whole life in the Word. And you say you trust the Word. And you think the Word is going to get you to heaven, but the Word points towards me. You don't need to put your faith in the Word. You need to put your faith in me. Listen, can I tell you something, church? Until you put your faith in Jesus, you'll never understand the Word of God. You can read it. You can sit down. And listen, this comes firsthand knowledge, Mark. I tried it. I tried before I accepted Christ to sit there and read through the book of, you know, the Word of God. And it all sounded like Leviticus to me. Any of y'all ever tried to study hard in the book of Leviticus? Well, that's a fun book, isn't it? It all sounded like Leviticus to me. But I'm going to tell you, once that one day when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, the next couple of days when I opened the Word of God, it was like watermelon in the summertime. Sweet iced tea on a hot summer day. I couldn't get enough of it. It made more sense. Keith, it was, delicious. I was feasting in the Word. Why? Because I could understand it. Why? Because Jesus revealed it to me. The Word of God points towards Jesus. You know, that ought to be enough. It really should. The Holy Spirit's testimony that Jesus is who He says He is. The prophet's testimony that Jesus is who He says He is. You see, the works of Christ alone and the Word of God testify to who Christ is. That should be enough. But Jesus throws one more little jab at the Jews. He said, you know, boys, y'all have a lot of stock. Y'all hold a whole lot of stock in Abraham and Moses. You boys, you know, all y'all talk about is Moses this, Moses that, Abraham this, Abraham that. I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say, you stiff-necked, arrogant, prideful Jews. Listen to what I'm having to say. Look at verse 46, what he says to him. He says, for if you believed Moses, now if is, remember, it's conditional. He's throwing it out there. If, not knowing really whether you do or not, if you believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote about me. Boys, listen, Moses wrote about me. But if you don't believe in his writings, how will you believe my words? God loved Moses. us and loved those Jews so much that he gave them testimony after testimony after testimony that Jesus could be trusted. We can trust Jesus. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't get past number one. I can't. Listen, the Holy Spirit drew me, and I was done. I was toast. Hey, I didn't need anything else, Mr. White. I didn't need anything else. I didn't need to look at the prophet's testimony or the works of Jesus or the testimony of Moses. I didn't need to go there. When the Holy Spirit drew me for the first time, when the first person walked up and said, "Will you accept Christ?" I said, "Yes, sir, I will. Let's go." But God loved us so much, church, that he went the extra mile. What more are you going to have to see before you believe? What more? Church, this scripture this morning should be used by you to answer the question that this dying world begs to be answered. Why should I trust in your Christ? Well, you now have the answer. And I want to take just a second. For those of you who are sitting there and y'all are taking notes, I'm just going to show you real quick in the scripture where I've gone. The first one is in John chapter 5, verse 33. The first answer is this. You have sent messengers. Verse 32. The first one is verse 32. There is another who testifies about me. That's the Holy Spirit. Verse 33, you have sent messengers to John, and he has testified to the truths. That's number two. Number three is seen in verse 36. These very works I am doing testify about me that the Father has sent me. That's number three. Number four, you pore over the Scriptures because you think they have eternal life in them, yet they testify about me. The Scriptures testify about me. The fifth one is seen in verse 36. If you believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote about me. He testified about Jesus. Church, you might be thinking, what if they tell me? What if I'm talking to a person and they tell me, Christ is but one way to God? Any of y'all ever heard that? I believe that Jesus is but one way to God. You show them John 14:6. Where Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Church, we can split hairs on a lot of Scripture, but we can't with this one. This Scripture shows us that there is, one way to God the Father. Well, listen to you, you're just so arrogant. No, I'm not. I'm just standing on the Word of God. I don't have an opinion. I don't have a dog in this fight. All I'm doing is standing with the Word. And when you stand with the Word, Brother Gary, that's a good thing, isn't it? Jesus said, not denominations, Jesus said, there is one way to God, and that's through Him. If you don't go through Him, you don't go. You don't go. There's no other way to God except through Jesus. You cannot turn your back on Jesus and your face towards God. You cannot. Will you this morning finally accept Christ as your personal Savior and serve Him for the rest of your life? Can I tell you that if you say no to Jesus one more time, that I believe that your hell will be a lot worse than for some? Can I tell you that I believe that you will hear this message in your mind in hell over and over and over and over again? I believe that you will be driven mad, screaming to the top of your lungs every day, why did I not accept Christ while I still had the time? When that preacher at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church preached that message, why, oh why, didn't I trust Christ that day? Will you accept my Jesus today? If you haven't, will you accept my Jesus today? It'll be the greatest thing you ever did in all your life. Can I tell you, I've seen Jesus take a person who was addicted to an eight ball of cocaine, touch him and heal him like he's me and you. I've seen Jesus touch the heart of a prostitute and make them just as clean and white as snow, turn their life around. I've seen personally Jesus take a man who was a liar, a cheat, a thief, a whoremonger, a drunk. He was a bad dude, and just change him into a Southern Baptist preacher, and that's me. Will you trust my Jesus today? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. God, I do not know why you wanted this message preached this morning, but you do. Lord, there is not a doubt in my mind that there is somebody here this morning who needed to hear that message. It's not about me, it's about you.